during the message. First of all, I want to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to move through, so you might want to write them down and go back in and look at them later on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to keep your finger there. We're going to be looking back at a couple of things here in a moment. Back when we leave here and go to a couple other verses, we're going to be coming back. So keep your finger there so don't lose that place. Let's begin reading, if you would, in verse number 7. But we, talking about Christian people, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, in our bodies. And he says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Ye also believe, and therefore speak. Tonight I want to look back up in verse number 7, and I want to take this thought with us. It's a very wonderful, privileged thing to be saved.
Amen.
You have a treasure. Sometimes Brother Porter sings that song, I found a treasure when I found Jesus. But we have a treasure in our earthen bodies that no one else has. Now stay with me a minute, and I want to go to a couple places. But first let me say this. The Bible says that we have the Spirit of Christ in us. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, if you write that down somewhere, I'm not going to turn to every one of these. It says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. Also, we have the Word of God in us. David said that he writes the Word of God on his heart that he might not sin against God. In other words, we have the Word of God inside of us, and we take it in us, and we have something unique in the Word of God. We also have the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, in chapter 1, of 2 Corinthians in verse 22. The Bible says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And so several times the Bible talks about that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Until we get our redeemed bodies, we are sealed. We are protected, those of us who are saved. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of God because the Spirit of God lives within us. Now, look just a few moments and let me show you a couple things. If you would, keep your finger there and go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. In Revelation chapter number 4, John gets a vision, and he goes from seeing the church age, and he goes and he sees the throne of God. And when he sees the throne of God, he sees a couple things, and one thing I want to point out here to bring a point, but look if you would in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, remember the seven spirits of God. Look on if you would in chapter 5 in verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, have seven horns Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So notice the seven spirits of God. Now, keep your finger again in Corinthians, and if you would, turn back to Isaiah chapter number 11. In Isaiah chapter number 11, it talks about Jesus, the Messiah, the root of Jesse, being sent among us. And I want you to know something that it says, and I'm just using all this for a foundation of where I'm going to go with in just a moment. The Bible says in chapter 11 of Isaiah, in verse number 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, by the way, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There he talks about the Spirit of the Lord, which is one spirit. He also says the Spirit of wisdom, which is number 2, the Spirit of understanding, which is number 3, the Spirit of counsel, which is number 4, the Spirit of might, which is number 5, the Spirit of knowledge, and then the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. All these shall rest, and the Bible says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I'm going to stop right there and say, Jesus had a unique. He had the seven spirits of God upon him. And the seven spirits of God is that he has the ability. He has all, not only the Spirit of the Lord, but he has all wisdom, all understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and all those things. That's why when they try to trap him, they could never trap him. That's why he was so wise. He knew all things. He perceived. He understood what people thought before they said it. When they were sitting there trying to deceive him, he knew. Because he had the perfect spirit, seven spirits of God, wisdom, full of knowledge when he was here upon this earth. Now, I said all that to say this. The treasure that we have in our earthen vessels is spirits that God gives us. Now, we don't have the perfection of his spirit as Jesus had, but we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, which also the Bible says that his spirit witnesses with our spirit. And so the Bible teaches us that his spirit does several things with us. Let me take you through real quickly a couple places and show you some treasures that you have because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are unique if you are saved. If you're not saved, you do not have these spirits. But if you are, you have them. And stay with me a minute and keep your finger there in Corinthians. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, we're going to turn quickly. So either turn quickly or write them down. You can read them later. Romans chapter number 8. The verse I spoke earlier of in chapter 8 was verse number 9, talking about the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you have to have the Spirit of Christ. But now also look, if you would, in chapter 8 and verse number 15. The Bible says that we that are saved, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. One of the treasures that we have in our earthly vessels is this. Even though we are sinners, even though we continue to sin even after we get saved, and I know some people try to refute that, but there is no refute. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth's not in us. We do. And so therefore, if we look at our own merits and we look at our own position, there's no way that we would feel comfortable in measuring ourselves up for eternal life because we would fall short. And we continue to fall short. But what God has done is this. He does not want us that are his people to run around in fear and being afraid of bondage and being afraid that we are lost and so forth. He wants us to have the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption means that we understand he is our Heavenly Father. We know who our parents are. We know that we are a child of God. And so forth, there it takes away the fear. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us. And I know sometimes some of these younger ones and so forth, they have trouble in understanding salvation because they're looking too much at themselves and they're not looking enough at Jesus. But once you begin to look at Jesus and understand it's all about him, it's not about you. The only thing that you have done is you put your faith and trust in him. You have believed in him. And when you believed in him, then God, through his Holy Spirit, gives us a spirit of adoption where we're able to cry, Abba, Father. Without the spirit of adoption, we could not come and cry out to God as our Father and ask him for things and have a personal relationship with God. You see, Israel, back in the Old Testament, they didn't know what it meant for God to be their Father. They feared God. As a matter of fact, they ran and hid from God. They wouldn't even speak God's name. They were so afraid of God. But the Bible says that we do not have that spirit of bondage. Now that we, because of our special position as far as children of Christ and as children of God through Christ Jesus, we have been given a spirit of adoption where we can cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means a personal dad, papa. Have a personal relationship where we can come and say, I need you. And we can come and get personal with God. And so, therefore, even though we are in these old earthen vessels, that's one of the spirits of treasure that we have. The second one that I want you to show is, look, if you would, in John chapter 14. And see, the spirit of adoption is given to us that we would have no doubt. Next, I want you to notice in chapter 14, Jesus says, in verse number 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the spirit of what? Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth where? With you, and shall be where? So we also have the spirit of truth. In other words, the Bible says that his spirit will guide us in all truth. And you know, the amazing thing is we have in the earthy vessels a treasure. His spirit tells us how to act, what to do, what not to do. Does it mean we always do it? No, but we have the spirit of truth. His spirit, and somebody said, well, I'm a child of God and I just don't know. I believe any child of God can find truth in any matter if he seeks God for that truth. Because we have within us the spirit of truth. Remember over there where the Bible says that we have need that no man teach us, for we have the Holy Spirit of God. He teaches us in all truth. So we have within us a treasure. Now imagine this. How many people have you ever run into, or have you ever run into somebody that talked about things, spiritual things or things of God, but they were so far off base of what the Bible taught? You ever see that? See, that's the difference. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth that reigns in you, it guides you in truth. And it shows you. And there's a whole lot of people that thinks they know something. They think they believe something. And the Bible says that he's going to say in that day to many of them, depart from me, I never knew you. And yet that all the time they were saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy thy name, cast out devils, do all these men of wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. The Spirit of God is given to us to guide us in all truth. You say, Brother Bill, I want to know the truth about this matter. Well, I'll tell you what, you get along with God and begin to study the word of God and let him show you. The Bible says that we are studied, show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you really, you know what we do when we get in the Bible is this. Too many times we get in the Bible to prove our point, or we to try to make it say what we want to believe, instead of saying, God, you open up my eyes and let me see what the truth is. Amen. And you know, there's been a lot of churches split because people was not letting the spirit of truth guide them. Now, not only that, but also knows this, back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, where we were at, we read another spirit that we have. In verse 13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe. Now, we are given the spirit of truth that we would not be in deception. In other words, we don't have to be led in deception. We don't have to be deceived. We have the spirit of truth. We don't have to be in doubt about our salvation. We have the spirit of adoption. He gives us a spirit of faith. We don't have to be discouraged. Look what Paul said. He said, listen, he said in verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And in other words, he said, listen, we have the spirit of faith. In other words, we look beyond just this present world. We look beyond just this present situation. And so therefore, we don't have to get discouraged. We have something within us that is a treasure. We have faith. We see something. We have hope. We have faith in God. And we have faith in, and look here. Somebody say, well, I'm fixing to lose my job. Well, you know, that's a serious thing. But where should our faith be? Somebody say, well, I'm fixing to go through surgery. That's a serious thing. But where should our faith be? And so what we have is we have this spirit of faith. And what it is, it's given to us that we would not be discouraged when we face these things. And so even though Paul says sometimes I'm perplexed, I don't understand exactly what's going on, he still says, even though he's perplexed, he says, let me go back and get it a second. He says, persecuted, yet not forsaken, destroyed. And he said, perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, we don't have to be all despaired every time something comes in our life. We have the spirit of faith. Not only that, but look, if you would, also in 2 Timothy, real quickly, turn over there, and I want to show you three spirits that we get from there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're given the spirit of faith that we would not be discouraged, the truth that we would not be deceived, and the spirit of adoption, that we would not have all these doubts in our lives. But look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of what?
Power.
He, in other words, we have within us the power that we would not be defeated. What does that mean? We have the means within us that we can do all things through Christ. We can face those things. We can get through those things. We can battle those things. We have within these earthen vessels, as weak as we are, we have because of God and because of the Spirit of God, he has given us a spirit of power. That means that we have a power even above our own self. Not only that, but look on. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of what? Of love. He's given us a spirit of power that we would not be defeated. He's given us a spirit of love that we would not be in all these discord, all these arguing and fighting and fussing running each other down and all these issues that we have. When you read the first five books of the Old Testament, 400 times God uses the word discord to represent Israel. In New Testament, it's used twice, and both times it's talking about using your tongue and talking and running and causing problems and causing someone and causing dejection upon people. The Bible says that he has given us a spirit of love. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. Not only that, but he also says in verse 7, not only of power and of love, but also of a what? Of a sound mind. And that is so we would not be disturbed about everything that comes in life. In other words, we can think things through. When we see these things out here, we understand how they fit within the plan of God. We don't get upset when we see all these things of nature, and we don't run around screaming with our heads cut off with global warming and all these things. We know the signs of the times are being fulfilled. We can sit back and we look and we see things happening within us. We understand how God is dealing with issues as he said he would. And so we shouldn't be surprised. Not only that, but if you also look in Hebrews chapter 10, real quickly, Hebrews chapter 10, we find another spirit that he has given us. All these are treasures that we have that lost people does not have. They're unique to those of us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified in unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We have the Spirit of grace within us. The fact of the Spirit of grace is to recognize the fact that, yes, we have been saved by the grace of God, and it's not through our own works. But we also know that the grace of God has taught us several things. It's taught us how to live and what to do and different things in our life. And therefore, we don't do despite to the Spirit of grace. And so we have that. Not only that, but we also, the Bible speaks of a spirit of life that we have. But let me show you two more and I'm going to close. But look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. And I'll sum it all up here in just a moment. Ephesians number 1, verse 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, the Bible says that we have the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is to be able to set and weigh things in light of eternity and see which has a greater weight. In other words, we just don't run off the end of the world chasing a dream. We have to look and we weigh things in light of eternity. We don't just eat, drink, and be merry and live life without any consideration about anything beyond this life, because we believe that there is something beyond this life.
Yes, amen.
We recognize that the Bible said it's appointed man wants to die, and after this, a judgment. We recognize as Christians that we will be judged according to our works, and we also recognize that lost people will be judged according to their works. So there is a judgment waiting everybody. So we just don't run off, and so we have the spirit of wisdom. Many people's living their life as if there is no tomorrow. They're living their life as if there's nothing to worry about, fret about. But my friend, he has given us, in our earthly vessels, a spirit of wisdom. And last, if you look in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse 4, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. He also keeps and he gives us his spirit of holiness that we should not defile. And there's times when we fall, but God has a way in which, a recourse in which we can be restored. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord that we have the command to the church that those that are spiritual restore such ones and to be able to do that. But what I wanted you to understand is this tonight, just simple thought. Jesus came with these seven spirits of perfection. He knew what everybody is thinking. Whatever he said was true. His counsel was real and right. He never gave a bad advice. But we have a treasure because of him. And we have within this treasure all these spirits that God has put in us, that we will not have to be defeated, despaired, all these delusion, deceived, all these things he's given for us. Defiled, because we have the privilege of having these spirits put in us. And even though we're still walking in this old life, we're still got the old flesh, we still fight every day between the flesh and the spirit, he has saw fit to give us a treasure of these spirits while we're here. Now, when we get there, we won't have to worry. We won't be exposed to sin no more. We will be saved from the presence of sin. But down here, what makes a saved person unique is the fact that God has put these spirits in us to allow us to face every issue. And that's why Paul said, I face all these things, but I'm not discouraged because I have these spirits within me. And so tonight, you need to understand, if you are saved, you have a treasure within your earthen vessel that is precious, that you need to thank the Lord. Have you ever thought once you've been saved, what it would be like to be lost again? And how deceived you were in some ways you thought and things you done. That's how much we owe God for this spirit. And what a treasure it is.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. Yes.